Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian Podcast. Today we have a very exciting guest. So today we are welcoming Nina. She is a program participant to talk about her story. So welcome, Nina, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy and honored that you're here. Like we were talking just a little bit before, like I'm so happy that you're willing to share your stories because it's so inspiring for people who are maybe still stuck in diet culture, maybe not sure that there's an alternative way or another way to like know and trust the process. So it's super awesome that you're here to share.
Yeah, I'm excited to share my experience.
Yeah. So let's start with, tell us a little bit more about you and your own journey. Like before the program, like how was your relationship to food and your body growing up?
So I would say I've kind of always had a little bit of a complicated relationship with food. Growing up wasn't so bad. I was a very picky eater as a child, which really limited what I would actually eat. And as I got older, it became a little bit more difficult. At one point, my uncle passed away and my cousins came to live with me. And they are both in smaller bodies. And being only 10 years old, you should not be concerned about your body, but I was. Mm-hmm. And clothes that would fit them wouldn't necessarily fit me. And that's kind of where my relationship with food and my body kind of started to be a little bit of a bother. Like it wasn't intense, you know, and it was kind of hard, like seeing like, oh, well, like I'm related to them. Why isn't my body like theirs? Because in your 10-year-old mind, you can't rationalize anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think I was very fortunate to grow up in a household where using like negative words towards bodies wasn't allowed. I do have family members who live in bigger bodies. So my mom was not okay with us saying like rude words towards people's bodies. That wasn't something we did or were allowed to do. And then I think as a teenager, I had a pretty good relationship with food. I've still always been picky. I still am kind of picky, but more willing to try food now. But I think growing up, like as a teenager, it was hard. But that's when I started to accept myself more. And I think more in my 20s is when it, like early 20s is when it became like really difficult for me. I was diagnosed with IBS when I was 21. So that limited really what my food intake was. And at that time, from being sick, I ended up losing a lot of weight and people would congratulate me on that. But to me, it was a very negative thing because I wasn't feeling good. They didn't know what my health was like or how often or not often I was able to eat and what kind of consequences my body was giving me for eating certain things just because of this condition. So I sort of noticed that there was like this disordered way of looking at it where people were saying, oh, you look so great, but I really didn't feel great at all. And that became a huge concern for me. It's like, okay. And once I kind of went back to once I was able to eat more and kind of reintroduce things into my diet without getting sick, that's when I maintained the weight I had before and I was fine with it. And then before the program, I don't know where it came from. I think influence of friends and just people's opinions really kind of like I started, you know, different restrictive and diet culture or diets to attempt to, you know, the goal of diets is to lose weight. So
yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. And it's like from a young age too, like starting to like compare bodies and be like, oh, okay, look at them. Look at mine. Like, is mine okay? Like questioning ourselves. And already mm-hmm. seems like there was already the idea of like, okay, but is a larger body as good as a smaller body? right?
Yeah. And I went through a phase as a teenager where I was very accepting of my body. I was like, this is the way I am. This is what it is. And I think I've kind of gone through dips in my life where I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. Like I'm fine the way I am. And then I would be like, oh no, like it's not okay. And I don't know if it's just like I think a lot of it has to do with like the influence of kind of other people that I value, that I hold value to them and their opinions. And that I think kind of would aim for my dips.
Yeah. And it's also super interesting you describe it that way as well, because we know that when stuff happens in our life, different stressors, like having IBS, for example, and having a lot of stuff removed from my diet, or things like happen in our lives that are just bigger stressors, something that we tend to do is revert back to like blaming our bodies, right? Like this world is like crazy. Like, let me like hyper-focus on my body now because that feels more in some way secure over like trying to deal with all the craziness of life.
Yeah. It's also a way I noticed for myself to have feeling of like a sense of control. Like this is the one thing I could control.
Yeah.
Even though it never necessarily worked, but.
Right. But it's this idea. And like, that's a total byproduct of like diet culture, to be like, oh, you want control. Like, here's all the things that you can do, like macromanage everything, where it's like, okay, but no, that does not work. Not long-term anyways. But super cool that you did grow up in a body positive environment. Like that is something pretty rare, I think. Like kudos to your mom. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was really great. I never really saw it different until I was older and kind of went over to like my friends' houses as like a preteen, where like they would make comments and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is so strange.
This is odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like so normalized where it's like, nope, people do that in.
Yeah, even now in our family, like that is not something we speak of. It's not something we put our conversations around. We don't really put much value behind, oh, like, you know, like this is how much you weigh. It's not okay. Like that's never been, it doesn't stop us from loving each other.
Right. As it should be. Right. Mm-hmm. But also interesting, like, even if that's the environment you grow up in, like we still have the impact of diet culture that kind of comes in. And then for you, a big thing too, is like within your IBS, like one, struggling with IBS is hard. And then there's often different diets that are associated with IBS. And like we talked a little bit, like the low FODMAP diet that's recommended, that's extremely restrictive and should be like done for a very short period of time. But then people going about and commenting on body like that in itself, when you have that experience of like, wait, I'm sick, like I'm unwell, and you're still complimenting me, right? It's so
important. That was, it was so weird to me to have people do that. I was like, I don't feel like, not that I was like criticizing myself, but I was like, I don't feel like I look that good. Like, I know that I look sick. Like to me, I look sick. Like I did not look like I have normally looked most of my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, not eating is not for me. Like not eating wasn't something to be proud of.
Right.
Like not being able to eat wasn't like, I was like, why are you applauding me for not being able to eat? Like, it's not fun for me.
Yeah.
To not be able to eat.
But yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
It is 100% it is. And I said that to my friend, like I'm very fortunate to have very great friends who are always like, well, who cares? Like, it's kind of weird that they say those things to you.
Right.
And like, And I also took it from a perspective of like, why, like, that's not my form of thinking. Like, that's not my kind of internalized fat phobia.
Yeah.
That's like other people pushing their agenda kind of on me, being like, oh, you look great now. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I look good the way I was before too.
Yeah. And I love that you have that perspective, because I think, in my opinion, from people I know, that it's rare. Like most people would take that as like, okay, now my value is associated with this thinner body. Like people like me when I'm in this thinner body, like what happens if, right? And that kind of creates a little like of a, oh wait. But for you to be able to recognize like, wait, those are your opinions, that's on you. Like it doesn't say anything about me. And like, I'm actually not feeling good.
Yeah. And like to go back to my childhood, when I was around 11, I was very restrictive. And it was kind of more of like a stress factor. As I said, like my cousins lived with us for a while after my uncle passed away, and I just like wouldn't eat. Like it was almost subconscious, like not intentionally eating. And then I like my aunt brought it to my mom's attention, and that's where we really worked on it and had like conversations. And I was like, okay, I do need to eat. Like, it's not okay to like not nourish yourself. And
yeah,
but it was like a super body positive thing for me to have, you know, reinforcement behind me with my family being like, no, it's you need to be nourishing yourself.
Yeah, you deserve nourishment, right? Which is mm-hmm. awesome. And then the last thing I'll say about body and commenting, just because we're bringing it up.
Yeah.
This is why for most people and like people listening that we don't want to comment on people's body, whether or not, like, we don't know if it was intentional and how it happened. Are we like commenting mm-hmm. on a disease, on like cancer, on so many different things that commenting on bodies is just not, it's not okay. Well,
I remember being in grade 9, and this memory lives in my head forever. And it's been over a decade since yeah. I've been in grade 9. And a girl that was my friend, and we all know how high school can be, girls are very catty, yes. but she was offering donuts to everyone. And I took one, even though there was larger people around me. And she made a comment saying, should Nina really be eating that?
Oh.
the rage I felt inside. And I was just like, well, I'm going to enjoy it anyway, even though she said that. But I was like, you know, that's a very complicated thing that lives with me still.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, ugh, and kids can be so cruel.
I know. And it's not necessarily,
like,
yeah.
It's not mean. It's just like, yeah. they may not know any better things they've heard that they find it's, but that's really hard. That's really, really hard. Yeah. So prior to joining the program, like, what mindset were you at before you joined?
Not a great one. I was looking for ways to, I wanted to be healthier. I knew that I needed to do more movement with my body because I just felt that way. I was like, I'd walk up a flight of stairs and I'd be so tired. I was like, okay, Nina, you need to move your body like a little bit more because I've always been pretty active. And then working from home from March was really starting to get to me. Like, I didn't have that activity in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. So I started walking every day. That really made the difference. And then I had friends who were like super into the gym and like fitness programs. And that's kind of where it came from. Like, then I was like, oh yeah, like I'll do this like 10-week body challenge. I'll do this. Like, oh, maybe I should eat like this to try and like tone and lose weight. And I don't really know where that came from. Like, it just kind of came on to me. And I guess it was almost a thing of control. Like, everything was so out of control in March. For like, we didn't know what the world was going to be like it is now. And mm-hmm. I think it was kind of a thing of control for me. I'm very type A and like to be in control of things, but
yeah. And like, it's so normal, like you were saying, that like those types of behaviors came back at a time where you were not feeling in control, right? Like the way that we mm-hmm. start to use food or start to view our bodies is like, okay, the world is in chaos, we're in the mid of a pandemic, we don't know how to deal, let me hyper focus on my body now.
Mm-hmm. And it like came to like restrictive behaviors with food and just yeah. almost exerting myself physically, yeah. like being in pain that wasn't like enjoyable.
No.
I mean, there was a release, of course, of being like, oh yeah, like this felt good, but sometimes, like most of the time, it was pushing me too far.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the intersection of diet culture and fitness culture that create a pretty big storm.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then I was like restricting my eating because I was doing some diet of sorts. And then I was also exerting myself, but then not fueling myself after exerting myself. So it was like this vicious cycle of yeah. not a positive like way of kind of like living.
No, it's really, really difficult. So what mm-hmm. made you decide at that point? You're like, okay, I'm dieting, I'm doing all this, like, I don't feel really great necessarily. Like, what made you decide to join the program and to start getting support?
So I was looking for dietitians with the intention of losing weight or just even helping with my IBS and figuring out kind of how I should be eating with like my IBS restrictions, because yeah. I do now know my body way more than I did 6 years ago. So I have the idea of like what triggers my stomach, what doesn't. But for the most part, I was looking for a dietitian with the intention of like weight loss or stability with food. And then I came across your website and you were one of the like most positive like Google reviews and everything. And I was reading your story and I was like, I have a huge sense of disordered eating and I always have for like as long as I can remember. And I was like, and I don't want to do this to myself anymore. I was like, I don't want to be like bitter about like my body when I usually am not. I'm usually very accepting of myself and others' bodies, and I was very just not myself. And then in food wise, I was like, why am I limiting myself? Like, I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not going out to eat with friends because I was restricting. Like, not that we could really go out to eat with people, but you know, there was allowed four people in a restaurant on a patio in the summer, so I took advantage of that sometimes. But yeah, no, it was just like, I fell on your page and I was like, wow, this is like the right thing for me. And I spoke with my partner about it like multiple times. Like, I had multiple conversations and I was like, you know, I think I should really do this. And he like agreed. He was like, no, if you think it's going to help you, then do it. Like, this is the right thing to do.
Oh, that's awesome that you had your partner support too. But how scary was it for you to be like, okay, taking the leap. This is not a diet. This is not weight loss. Like, but I'm going to try it.
It was very scary, but it also gave me kind of a sense of relief.
Ooh, I like that.
I felt very relieved in knowing that I didn't have to do this forever. Like, I don't have to conform to what kind of society's norms are. Like, I don't have to restrict and be hungry and be hangry, as they say. Like, even talking with my partner since, you know, it's been good experience.
Yeah. So tell us about how it's been, how this, your journey has been since you've like, okay, cool. I'm like now committed to healing my relationship with food in my body. How has that looked like for you?
At first it was a little bit tough and then it kind of gotten a lot easier. I still have like days where it's not great and I'll feel guilt towards food or certain things. And then I just have to reframe and work through it. I was talking with my partner, actually speaking of him, and I was like, am I a lot less angry since I started like eating normally again? And he was like, he's like, no offense, but yes, like you're significantly less like angry and bitter. Like you have more energy and you're just happier. I was like, you know, that's a good thing to know. I was like, that's a positive thing for me to know that I like made that effort to kind of improve and work on myself and make sure that like I'm getting what I want out of life. And I think I like the challenges you give me too.
I like to give challenges and missions.
Yeah. Like I think it was super helpful. I've never experienced like where I kind of just kept eating something until I didn't feel guilty about it. And like just knowing that I could eat it and not feel bad about it made a huge difference for me. I still have days like where I'm like, oh, like, should I be doing this? Should I not be? And I think another thing is like healing my relationship with my body, especially. I haven't weighed myself since the beginning of the program, since you told us like that was one of our challenges is like, don't weigh yourself. I haven't done it at all. I wanted to. And then we worked through it in Q&A group and then I don't do it. So I feel really good that I've kind of like when I take a challenge, I'm very competitive. So like if I challenge myself, I don't like to like lose at my challenge. Yeah. I'll put loose in quotations, but
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I love that your partner's like, yeah, being happier, less angry, less bitter, because it's true. Like when we start that healing process towards food in our body, like it influences like everything else. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when we are feeling more confident, when we are feeling better, more comfortable, all these things, it just kind of like trickles down to other areas of our life, which is awesome. And then also it's really cool. Like when you first started that, it was harder. It is hard. It's not an easy journey. Like we're not going to sugarcoat it. It's not easy per se, because it takes effort to change our beliefs and our behaviors. Like there needs to be that work and time and effort to be able to do that. But once those connections are starting to be made, it does become easy and eventually becomes second nature. Just kind of like dieting for a really long time might have been sick in nature of like, okay, what am I doing next? Like, oh, I don't like my body. It's just kind of like we think about that because it's just on top of then we can also change that and we can also get those new beliefs. And like the front work is difficult. It's hard, but you do get the support. But then after that, it's like the okay, cool. Now it's starting to like be more fluid. Now it's starting to be a little bit more easy. It's not easy every day. And there's not like no more challenge. Like I leave diet culture and like life is good and like sunshines and rainbows. Yeah. Like there's still going to be work, but it does get easy over time.
Yeah. And I think I learned over my journey too, like starting and since we've started, that a lot of my kind of, I don't want to say problems, but a lot of my issues are related to food more so than my body image. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I grew up in that positive kind of household where there wasn't an emphasis on what you looked like or how your body was. It just was what it was. And one thing I've been doing is I wrote on my mirror, there is nothing wrong with your body, so that every time I look in the mirror, I see that. And it's kind of just reassurance that like, all right, you're good.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And again, like the fact that you grew up in that environment is just super great and uplifting as well. So let's talk a little bit about food, because yeah, for some people, like that's really interesting when we think of like, and when you connect with the group, like it's so cool how everyone in the group can relate in some aspect to each other. And it feels like a very safe place to share, but each one is a little bit different, right? A relationship will always look different towards food versus our body. And for you with food, like, what do you think is like maybe your biggest takeaway, your biggest victory that you're like, man, this is good. Like my relationship has improved this way.
Yeah. With food, I think it's just the lack of restriction and kind of the lack of fear of trying new things. I know with IBS, and if anyone has experienced IBS, like it is kind of scary to try and reintroduce foods that once triggered you. Personally, like, as you said, like low FODMAP, you're not supposed to do that for years, but with a family physician, like I've been doing low FODMAP for the past 6 years, which isn't maintainable. Like I can't maintain that kind of lifestyle. So I've started, like I slowly started reintroducing food, and sometimes I'll have some food that triggers me, but I know I'll be fine and my body's a safe space. And
yes,
typically working from home, I'm in a safe space. So if I do, like if my IBS is triggered, I feel more comfortable. It's like a less anxious space to be, you know, worried about. Like if I was out and about, I would only eat my safe foods. That won't trigger my stomach, but I feel like now I'm way more free in a sense to just eat what I want. Like if I go eat or if I order food, I'm not like, okay, I want two servings of that, instead of being scared to have, you know, a big plate of fries or something. I say fries because it's my favorite.
I love that. Yeah. And I think like that's one of the biggest victory that I've seen too. It's that like, there's like no more food guilt. And you're like, wait, what? Like I eat and it's fine. And I eat treats and it's fine. I'm allowing yourself to like expand, like it's like the comfort zone, right? Of like what is safe versus unsafe. And that safe zone is like slowly getting a little bit better as you move along, right?
Yeah. And I think another victory, which is big for me, is the feeling of not needing to, like once restricting, I would want to binge. And now I can have these trigger or what I felt were unsafe foods in the house without wanting to eat them all the time. Like I just get to eat, have like a large bag of M&Ms in my cupboard. And when I feel like having them, I can have them, they're there, but I don't feel this need to be like, oh no, I'm not allowed to have them. And then really want to have them.
Right. And I think that's probably one of, when people let go of diet culture, that's probably one of the most, fear, the biggest myth and like the biggest fear is that I'll be out of control around food. If there is no rules in place, I won't be able to stop myself from eating the whole bag of whatever.
Where it's like, I feel more in control now of what I'm nourishing my body with or what I feel like having.
Right. Because you're taking away those restrictions. So now it's control in the sense that like you get to choose, like you, the food doesn't control you. The diet doesn't control you. You just get to be like, cool, what do I want? What feels good for me? Right. And there's not that urge of like, I need to do everything right now because the diet starts tomorrow and like all the stuff that comes in. It's just like, wait, no, today, what do I want right now in this moment?
Yeah. And that's so freeing.
So freeing. What is your favorite part of the program?
Probably our weekly Q&A. That's the best part. We all say it every week, but there's something about being in a group of people, even going in as strangers that had this same thing in common with each other. And we know it's a safe, judgment-free place. And we're all coming from a place of wanting to heal ourselves. And I think that builds a strong community.
I 100% agree with you. Like the group itself, first of all, every human in this group is wonderful. Yeah. But it does feel like a really safe place, right? Where people like can come up, be vulnerable, share. And like, it's just very open and we are able to connect deeper because
this stuff is hard, right? Like, and our connection to food in our body is very much vulnerable. So being able to share and open up with others just feels like really good. And we get to connect, and like, there's always amazing topics that are being brought up too, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think it's a space where anything can kind of be said or talked about without judgment, and everyone's ready to like offer advice to help each other. There's not this sense of like, oh, this person's doing better than me right now. Like, I can't help them. Like, everyone's always for each other in this group.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. And I'm so fortunate to have you part of the group too, because you're pretty amazing human.
Oh, thank you. I think the same as you as well.
Okay. And then how would you describe your relationship to now? So if you compare it to like how it was prior to starting and now, I think you're 4 months in the program. Yeah, 4 months. There's still, or 5 months. 4 or 5 months in the program.
I don't remember.
Like somewhere along there. How would you describe your relationship to your body now?
Well, I'll start with body. My body image is way better. I took the leap and bought a new winter coat, as you know, which was a hard step for me, accepting that I had to buy a different coat that fit me properly. And being in a coat that fits me properly is way more comfortable, and I enjoy it. And I went for a color instead of a shade, instead of the usual black coat. I got like a forest green coat, and I love it. And I think with my body too, like I'm less concerned about what other people are thinking about me, because I play a little bit of that mind reader game, as most people do. Yeah. And I bought pattern leggings, which is not something I would ever do. And I wear them out to the grocery store, which feels like a big step for me, because I'm not hiding in just plain colors like I usually do. Mm-hmm. And I think my relationship with food is significantly better. Like I don't know where I would be at if I wasn't in this program. Like, I don't think I'd be okay with food the way I am now.
That's so awesome to hear, like from both fronts, like that food is just food again. It's like, cool. Feeling my body and it feels good. And like,
yeah,
it kind of like, yeah, brings it back down.
There.
Yeah.
I get to eat it whenever I want, however I want.
Right. Right.
Whatever quantity I want.
100%. And we're reconnecting to your body, which is super cool too. And like that whole piece of like advocating for ourselves and like respecting our bodies of like buying clothes that fit our current body here and now is so important. Like, I know that was a super big challenge and you did it, which is awesome.
Yeah. It was very, as much as I was worried about it, it was very like reassuring to be like, oh, I feel so good in this. Like, why did I wait so long to do this?
I feel like that's like a lot of times, like looking back at like diet or like, I don't know for you, but like times when I was dieting, I was like, why the fuck did I did that? Like, what? Why did I not just like start this before?
And I think about that too. Even like, I know we talk about like body types and stuff and how like we talked about how things fit you. And now I have this whole different perspective on like, I don't need to buy clothes because it's a flattering in quotation marks. Right. Like, I just get to wear clothes because I want to wear it.
Right. Our job is not to be these trophy people to look appealing to others, right? Our job is to live, be comfortable in our bodies and do other stuff that has nothing to do with our bodies and food.
And now, like, I feel like it's weird, but as an anxious person, this is like, this is a spot where like, I don't really feel anxiety anymore. Like, this That's is a awesome. Place where like, now I have other things to worry about that aren't necessarily worth worrying about, but you know, like this doesn't take up a huge chunk of my life in the way it used to.
Which is awesome, right? All the mental space that you have for other things. And sometimes we don't realize when we are dieting, how much time and effort it takes. But when you do get to the other side of like, wait, no, like now look at this energy that I have to place on other things that matter a lot more.
I think back to it and I was like, why am I so focused on all these things? Like, why was I so, like, why did I take so much time out of my own time to do other things so focused on this one thing?
Yeah.
Like, it almost like amazes me that I was like, oh yeah, like this is worth worrying about.
Yeah, but it's hard. Like, and like, even like having this conversation. No. And like, if you are in that spot where you're like very much entrenched in diet culture and it's really hard and like you're dieting and all that stuff, it's not to say that it's like bad or that you're wrong. It's just, it's hard when you are in that spot to realize, right? Because it is what society praises. It is what
this is me looking at it now.
Yeah.
Not so much me. Like I would have felt the same way I always felt before this program. I wouldn't feel this sense of like, oh, like it's all good now. Like now I can reflect and be like, oh, okay. Like that wasn't for me. Like that's not what I needed.
Right. No, 100%. Okay. My last question for you is, what would you say to someone who is scared, who is on the fence, is like, can I actually let go of diets? Like what's going to happen? Like just like scared to take the leap like you did.
Oh, that is a great question. What advice would I give? I think my advice would be to trust yourself and trust what you want. And this will lead you to a lot of self-love.
Ooh, I love that. Trust yourself, trust what you want, and this will lead you to self-love.
I think that's how
very wise you are.
Oh, thank you. I'm always convinced I'm like a 70-year-old woman trapped in a 27-year-old.
Maybe.
Could be.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing everything that you did. Like, this is just really awesome and super inspiring too, like from where you are to where you are now, and just can't wait to see where you will be, right? Like all the doors are open, which is
it's exciting.
So exciting. Okay, let's do our speed round of fun questions. Okay. The first one, my all-time favorite question: what is your favorite food?
My favorite food is poutine with vinegar and dill pickle on the side.
Wow, no vinegar. I'm not going to yuck your yum. That's awesome. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Teleportation. I feel like flying, you would get really tired. So if I could just like arrive somewhere, like with a snap of my fingers, I'd be very happy.
100%. And like in COVID time, I feel like that's even better.
I can be on a beach.
Yeah. Isolated place. Bam.
Yeah.
No one would know. I love that. Okay. What is your favorite way to self-care?
My favorite way to self-care is usually a hot shower and blasting music and having my own little shower concert.
I love that. That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Hot or cold shower?
Hot. Well, sometimes I'll turn it to cold at the end if I want to be like refreshed. Ooh, okay. But for the most part, it helps me calm down too. Like if I'm feeling anxious, it'll help me a lot kind of calm down and make me feel better. So, and it's always like throwback music. It's never new music that I do my concerts to.
I love that so much. And my last question for you is, what does balance mean to you?
Balance to me, I think, means a variety of things. I think I don't want to say the good and the bad, but it's kind of like, I don't know what they're called, but you know, there's weights on either side and it kind of balances itself out over time. That's what I picture in my head. And it's a little bit of adding to each side with everything that comes at you.
Oh, I love that. Like just finding your balance on what feels good. So you stay like in equilibrium. Equilibrium?
Is that the word? Equilibrium?
No. Yes.
I don't know.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yes, I call the Avengers the Avengers. That's how I've always said it until someone corrected me.
The Avengers.
Yeah.
I like it.
I thought it was.
Honestly, I can't say nothing because like my first language is French. So sometimes the way I pronounce word, I'm like, man, words are hard.
My first language is English and I still have
words are hard sometimes. Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for taking this time out of your busy schedule to share your story with us. I so appreciate you and so honored to be part of your journey.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you so much. And this program has made such a difference in my life. And I will hold it near and dear forever.